Welcome, listeners, and welcome to our latest podcast on packaging with PMMI. Today's podcast will be talking about machinery communications, making systems talk for a more efficient manufacturing operation. I'm sitting here today. My name's Andy Hanasek. I'm the editor-in-chief of the National Provisioner. I'm sitting with Jorge Izquierdo, Vice President, Market Development for PMMI, and we're going to talk all about communication between machines and processing lines. So, Jorge, we'll just jump right into it. Today, we'll talk about three different things: the status, whose responsibility, and maybe some of the pitfalls that crop up for processors looking to streamline communication. So the first question I have for you, Jorge, what's the status from your perspective of what I'll refer to as the talk ability of machines, the ability of machines to talk to each other? Specifically in a typical meat and poultry processing line, maybe you can branch into some of the food processing world too at this stage in time. How many machines are speaking different languages, and how far is the industry from getting to a single language world? I know that's a lot to digest, but I think you can probably shed some light there.
Absolutely, Andy. Thank you very much. I like your term talkability. I think it's a good one, and it's easy to explain, you know, what we're trying to do here. First of all, I would want to address your question in terms of how many different languages are there. If we compare, the industrial machinery with computers, you know, in computers basically you have a big group of PC users, and maybe not as big, but a growing group of Apple users, and there's a way to communicate, maybe share files, exchange information between those two different systems. The problem in the industry is we don't have two systems or two languages. Basically, every brand of equipment has a different language to communicate. You know, you have Rockwell, you have Siemens, you have Modicom, you have B&R, you have a number of manufacturers, and many of them have their own particular languages that they use. And what's happening here, it would be really hard to standardize all those languages to communicate among the different pieces of equipment. So the approach that the industry is taking, actually it's the industry represented, automation and controls is represented by a group named OMAC, the Organization for Machine Automation and Control. The approach here is, rather than trying to standardize every language and everybody using the same language, basically there's a set of instructions of human word would be, you know, a set of specific words that they are trying to standardize, you know, and that's pretty much the different states of the machine, you know, like, you know, if the machine is starting, if the machine is stopping, if it's slowing down. You know, it's basically if we are able to communicate these basic states between machine and machine, you know, we can solve 90-something percent of the problems. So that's what we're trying to do. And the name of this standard is PAC-ML. And it's basically, you know, all the different manufacturers of controls, all the different languages, they can adopt these a small piece of a standard and communicate very easily. So that's where the industry is going to, rather than trying to standardize every single language, is trying to standardize a basic, simple set of states of the machine, so one machine can communicate with the next one. By doing this, I would say we would be able to take advantage of most of the capabilities of communication between one machine and the next one.
I see. Very good. Okay. So then whose responsibility would you say it is to make machinery on the same line communicate more effectively? Is this more on the plate of equipment designers, or is it processors themselves, or is it someone else? Is it a third party that's designing some things like these translators, if you will, that allow the machines to communicate with each other?
Well, I guess there are basically three players here. Of course, the users of the equipment, the manufacturers of the equipment, and also the manufacturers of the controllers that are part of the equipment. I would say the biggest share of the responsibility here would fall pretty much on the end users. Uh-huh. The technology is available. OEMs can implement these changes. But if end users are not requiring this type of technology, they won't make that step. You know, it's sometimes there will be some cost of implementation, and somehow this cost needs to be absorbed, I guess, somehow by both OEMs, end users, including even controllers here. But when you look at current installations, you know, I guess what's happening, you know, in terms of responsibility and in terms of why this could be implemented or not, of course, you know, cost is one of the problems. But also when you look at the legacy equipment, I think the best way to approach this is for end users, for users of the technology of the equipment, as they acquire new equipment, make sure they comply with a standard that, in this case, could be PACML, that could help them integrate their equipment in the future. The problem is, as you get new equipment, maybe with this new standard, you will be connecting this new equipment with old equipment, with equipment that's already installed in the factory, and end users would have to invest some of their resources to make the compatibility of the old equipment, the legacy equipment, with the new equipment. But certainly the first step here in order to make this happen is making sure that the new equipment, the new acquisitions, are consistent with these standards.
Is it kind of a tangential question off of that answer? Is it easier to find equipment that is compatible with? Is newer equipment easier to find that is compatible with things like PACML, or is it more challenging to get your legacy equipment up to speed with some of those requirements?
Well, the challenge would be, I mean, it's easier to find PACML standard equipment today in the market. Maybe some of the manufacturers, they don't have it off the shelf, I mean, or ready, but most of them, they're able to offer it. The challenge really is the old equipment. You know, it's when you have a packaging and processing line, you're talking about maybe, I don't know, could be five, could be seven, maybe more pieces of equipment that you're connecting, putting them together. Uh-huh. If you're bringing a new piece of equipment, well, that's one out of five. You still need to upgrade the other five so they're able to communicate. So some of the advantages here and why it's important for end users to consider this is, As you are able to make all the pieces of the equipment of a line consistent in terms of the communications, they are able to communicate, you're going to find out that preventing downtime is easier. It's not just an expense. I mean, yeah, you need to invest on it, but end of the day, your productivity will rise, and will rise by reducing the downtime. It's going to be easier when you have a problem on the line to make diagnose and identify which piece of equipment is the one creating the problem or the bottleneck. It will be easier to understand productivity slowdowns. Will be easier to make the corrections, the necessary corrections to get the equipment to work at full line speed.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about bottlenecks and whatnot, so I'm glad you mentioned that. So we kind of delved into some of the pitfalls that may crop up for processors trying to streamline the communication between machines. Are there any others that you wanted to mention, and what are some of the ways in which those pitfalls can be avoided?
Yes, of course. We talked briefly about the costs. Yes, there's a cost for implementation. I think when you analyze the cost benefit, you know, you're going to see it more as an investment rather than a cost. We talked briefly about the legacy equipment. We need to bring up that all the equipment up to standards to be able to communicate with the new equipment. And the last one, I think it's quite important, is educating existing staff on how to manage and maintain the technology. Mm-hmm. Education and training is a significant issue in every manufacturing operation in the U.S. these days. We have a number of engineers with a lot of experience that have been operating equipment for the past 20 years. Sometimes adopting new technology, it's not as easy. Developing new, being part of new standards, it's not as easy as well. And even more challenging now is many of these very experienced engineers and operators are leaving the workforce in the next few years, and replacing them with it's interesting, as you replace them, you know, the current engineers, the ones that have been in the plant for over 20 years, they have a lot of experience. Maybe they are not as savvy in terms of controls, computers, and electronics. The new engineers coming in, you know, they might be savvy in terms of controls and electronics, but they don't have the experience, you know. Uh-huh. So I think the challenge, it's going to be more bridging this situation, you know, finding the right people and training the right people. Yeah.
Sounds great, Jorge. Anything else you wanted to add that we didn't cover?
Communicating, you know, the different parts of the equipment will obviously increase the productivity of your line. There's a cost there. We at PMI have discussed this extensively with our members. There's a cost also for the OEMs, but for both OEMs and end users, there's an advantage. You know, once you understand this as an investment, long-term, it will pay back many times. Just being able to operate your lines at full speed, that's the objective, really, increased productivity of the lines.
Excellent, Jorge. Thank you so much. And for the listeners, thank you. Once again, listeners, that was Jorge Izquierdo from PMMI. For more information on getting your machines to talk to each other a little bit better, machinery communication, you can go and check out PMMI.org or PACEXPO.com. And speaking of PACEXPO, it's never too early to think about attending this year's PACEXPO. PACEXPO 2012 will be in Chicago at McCormick Place, October 28th through the 31st, 2012. So take a look at PACEXPO.com and make your reservations and your travel plans, and we'll see you out there. Thanks again, Jorge, and have a great day.
Thank you, Andy.